Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When Jesus came to live among us, he was the radiance of the glory of God in human form. The Gospel of John chapter 1 summarizes this wonderful truth. Today, some final thoughts on the Incarnation, God coming to live as man. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Now, Erwin Lutzer concludes the series on being changed by the Word. In this, the last of six messages, we're rejoicing that the Word of God has visited us. Turn to John 1:16.
You think that heaven is going to be boring? We're going to begin at the first song in the hymnal, sing our way through, and then when we're done, we re-sing it again? Is that your view of heaven? Some of you are being too quiet here today. Are you listening? You with me? I'll tell you, heaven is going to be getting more of God throughout all eternity. That's what it's going to be. And our biggest need always is to see God in a new way. Look at the text here. Of his fullness we have all received, I'm in verse 16, from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace, inexhaustible supply of grace for inexhaustible problems, for inexhaustible doubts, for inexhaustible situations. There is Jesus supplying us grace upon grace, and it's all in him, because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him. If only we understood that better, we'd find that there is grace for every need. There's corresponding grace. Our greatest need always is a fresh revelation of God, a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ, who reveals the Father to us and explains him to us. Second, it's very important to realize that our need for Christ, let's take this slowly, our need for Christ has to be shown to us by God. Christianity here is the only religion like this. In order for us to understand the statement I just made, let's back up a little bit. It says in verse 10, he was in the world was made through him, yet the world didn't know him. By and large, the world rejected him. This is the big world. And he came to his own people, verse 11, the Jews, and they didn't receive him. But verse 12, to all who did receive him and who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let's take that a little bit more slowly. What the text is saying is that though Jesus was rejected, for those who did receive him, he gave them the right to be called the children of God. First of all, why is it that more didn't receive him? Because they were walking in darkness and got used to the darkness and didn't recognize the light. Tons of people like that today, walking in darkness, but they don't recognize the fact that they are in darkness. They wonder why they're constantly stumbling, why life is empty, but they don't recognize that there is light in Jesus. But now, here's the point. For those who did receive him, these people were born, let's take this slowly, not of blood. You're not a Christian because your parents were. You're not a Christian because you have a Christian genealogy. You're not a Christian because you somehow are in a church. You know, Billy Sunday, who was an evangelist who used to preach here, and somebody who was still alive when I became pastor, said that he is to jump from that platform to this platform without using the stairs because, you know, Billy Sunday was into baseball and he carried over some of his abilities to the pulpit. And Billy Sunday used to say, putting a car into a garage doesn't make it, excuse me, I got it wrong. Can we just back up and we redo it? All right. Like a man who likes to watch his wedding videos backwards. He loves to see himself back out of the church a free man. I'm sorry, that just happened to come to mind to get me out of my dilemma. Billy Sunday said that to put a wheelbarrow into a garage does not make it a car. I finally said it correctly. Attending church does not make you a Christian. It's not of blood. It's not by the will of man. It's not saying, well, I'm going to become a Christian and I'm going to become living the Christian life. Now that won't do it. It says you're born not of blood nor of the will of man. You don't have enough willpower to become a Christian. You don't have enough righteousness to be a Christian. But it says those who are born of God. And that's the uniqueness of the Christian faith, is the fact that God works in our hearts in such a way that we are born of God, as explained later in John chapter 3, the story of Nicodemus. I'm asking you today, as you're listening to this, by whatever means you're listening to it, have you been born of God? And if you aren't sure, you probably aren't. Those who are born of God have the deep, settled assurance that they personally belong to God, and they belong to Him forever. And so it is that Jesus Christ brings us to the Father. And finally, only in Christ can we recover all the hope we are meant to have. In Christ alone do we uncover or recover all the hope we were meant to have. We were meant by God to live this life in hope of eternity, in hope of God's glory, in hope of the fact that the God whom we have come to know is the God with whom we shall forever be. You know, Augustine, that great theologian, apparently said, "Oh God, your word says, no man can see thee and live. Lord, help me to die that I might behold thy glory." Wow. The desire of a soul for God eternally. Recently, in another place, I preached a message which I'm not sure I ever preached here. It was on the stoning of Stephen. And you remember, as the stones were flying, Stephen looked into heaven, and the first thing the Bible says is he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing in the midst. Listen, if Stephen saw that while he was still alive, while he was feeling the pressure of the stones and the pain, and being stoned must not be a very, very comfortable way to die, but he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing there. If that was already true before his soul left his body, imagine what he saw after he died. It is unimaginable in its beauty, in its holiness, and in its fulfillment and satisfaction. I've quoted before the words of Johnny Erickson Tada, who has lived about 45 years in a wheelchair. I don't know of anyone whose testimony has so inspired me, so humbled me, convicted me as hers. The joy that she has in the midst of constant pain. But she said this: the reason she looks forward to heaven is not just because she can put her wheelchair somewhere else, park it at the door, or as she humorously says, put it somewhere else, really low beneath heaven. It is at that moment, she said, that I'll finally be able to behold God to the extent that we as humans can, without any sin ever coming in between. Only Jesus can do that. And I bring you to him today, wherever you are, no matter where you are on your spiritual journey, you come to Christ who replaces the Old Testament, the glory of God, the sacrifices, the worship of God. The closer we get to him, the more we please the Father. And then we discover the words of Scripture, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It can't get any better than that, can it? Father, today we say in sincerity, may we be led to Christ. May we be led to the one who reveals the Father, full of grace and truth. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Help us to rush to him for forgiveness, for fellowship, for our own joy that he promised us, and find in him everything we need in this life, and it'll take us to the next, we pray. Before I close this prayer, if you need to talk to God right now, and I would think that many of you do, just talk to him. For some of you, receive the forgiveness that Jesus offers. For some of you, make it a moment of thanksgiving and worship. For some of you, may it be a sense of commitment, a new commitment beyond your present relationship. Do in our hearts, Father, whatever you desire, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. How important it is for us to recognize who Jesus really is. The fact that he fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies, the fact that he today is our one sacrifice offered 2,000 years ago on behalf of many, and that he revealed to us the glory of God. Would you like to have your life simplified? Because for some of you, it is far too cluttered. You have too many different things going on, and of course, you know, you are distracted, as many people are, as a result of our technological revolution. Here's a way that we all can simplify our lives. Begin every day saying, God, what really matters is you and your glory. And I'll submit to whatever you have for me today. Because at the end of the day, this isn't about me, it's all about you. These messages were preached with a deep sense of conviction that it is through God's Word that we are transformed into the image of Jesus Christ from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. That is God's will.
You've heard Dr. Erwin Lutzer wrapping up The Word of God Has Visited Us, his final message in a series on being changed by the Word. This 6-part series on Changed by the Word can be yours on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.